Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Story one, I've been driving long haul out of Cheyenne for over 18 years. I've seen just about every weird thing a person can see on the road. Flipped cattle trailers, burning semis, naked tweakers dancing in the middle of the highway. But what happened on US 191 just outside Rock Springs, Wyoming? I still can't wrap my head around it. I've told maybe three people, and every one of them just looks at me like I'm telling a campfire story. I'm not, I wish I was. This happened in the summer of 2017. I was running a solo trip hauling steel from Colorado to Idaho. I'd made good time and decided to push through the night so I could shut down early the next day and get some sleep in before drop-off. It was about 1:45 a.m., pitch black except for my headlights and the soft glow of my dash. No other cars for miles, just me, humming tires and empty desert. US 191 is remote as hell. No lights, no towns, barely even a shoulder. You miss something out there, you're in the rocks. I was cruising at about 65, windows cracked, sipping warm coffee that tasted like burnt rubber. The CB was quiet. Just another dead night. Then I saw what I thought was a deer in the road. It was far off, maybe 200 yards. And it was standing in the middle of my lane. I flipped on my brights and eased off the pedal. But when the lights hit it, I almost choked. It wasn't a deer. It was a person, naked, just standing there. I laid into the air horn, no movement. They didn't flinch, didn't try to run, just stood there, pale as hell, staring straight ahead. I couldn't see their face clearly at first, just long limbs, too long, and a weird posture. Something was wrong with how they stood. Shoulders too high, arms stiff, like a puppet or something. I started braking hard, but I was too close and too heavy. There was no way I could stop in time without jackknifing. I leaned on the horn again, screaming, "Move!" even though they couldn't hear me. Then the figure turned its head. I swear on everything, that head snapped around like a bird. One quick twitch, and I saw the eyes. Huge, jet black, like oil. No whites, just black orbs, wide and locked onto mine. The mouth opened too, slowly, like it was stretching, and I could see it wasn't just a person. Not at all. The mouth didn't stop at the chin. It just kept opening way too far until it looked like the whole lower jaw was unhinged. Then it dropped on all fours. I've never hit the brakes that hard in my life. My tires screamed. The whole cab shook. The figure didn't run off the road. It crawled, fast, right under my front bumper, out of sight in less than a second. Like a spider. I stopped dead in the middle of the highway, engine still running, hazards on, my heart going 100 miles an hour. I looked in both mirrors, nothing behind me, nothing beside me. I flipped on the cab lights and grabbed the door handle, about to get out and check if I hit whatever the hell that was. Then I heard it, something scraping along the undercarriage. Not dragging, scraping, like claws on steel. I froze, didn't breathe. It was moving from the front of the truck, toward the back, slow, steady. I could hear it clear as day, like nails scratching down the frame. Then slam, the whole trailer rocked. Something hit it from underneath, hard, like a body flinging itself against the metal. Then it happened again. Another bang, then again, like it was trying to get in. I threw it in gear and floored it. Didn't look back, didn't stop. Just kept going for at least 30 minutes, pedal damn near through the floor. Every few seconds, I'd glance in the mirrors, expecting to see something climbing up the side of the trailer, but there was nothing. When I finally calmed down enough to stop, I pulled into a well-lit gas station just outside Pinedale, parked right under the biggest lights they had, and got out to check the rig. There were scratch marks on the side rails, long, deep ones, some near the back, some under the front bumper. I even found what looked like skin, gray, dry, almost rubbery, stuck in one of the bolts underneath. I called dispatch, told them I hit a coyote and needed to check for damage. Didn't say anything else. I couldn't. What the hell was I supposed to say? I've driven that stretch maybe 5 times since then, always during the day, never again at night. I don't know what that thing was. I don't know if it meant to hurt me or just scare me or something else entirely, but I know this. It wasn't human. And it wasn't alone. Because 2 weeks later, another driver I know, runs the same company, broke down on that same stretch, middle of the night. Called in sounding panicked, said he saw someone walking on all fours along the shoulder. Said it stopped moving when he turned his lights on. Just stood there like it was watching him. I asked him later what it looked like. He paused real quiet, then said, "Didn't look like a person. Looked like it wanted me to think it was." I haven't spoken to him since. I don't take that route anymore. Story 2. I've been hauling for over 20 years. I live in Flagstaff, Arizona, but I run cross-country mostly, west coast to Midwest, a lot of night driving. I'm used to weird stuff on the road, drunks, deer, desert mirages, you name it. But there's one thing that happened out by the Nevada border, just outside of Jean, that I still don't talk about unless someone brings it up directly. Even then, I usually lie and water it down. It was mid-August last year. I was hauling furniture from LA to Denver. I'd left the docks late, traffic at the yard was a mess, and I didn't hit the road until about 8:30 p.m. By the time I was passing Vegas, it was around 3 a.m. Dead stretch of highway, just the long black road and the hum of the engine. You know that zone-out trance you get into when you're cruising at night? I was deep in it. Until I noticed the SUVs, 3 of them, black, identical. No visible make or model badges, but they were new. Clean, matte paint, dark windows. Not tinted, blacked out like mirrors. I'd been behind them for maybe 50 miles. Didn't think much of it at first. Caravan, probably some government suits or rich assholes playing desert games. But then I saw the plates, Nevada tags, just a single digit on each. Prvni, druhi, treti, nothing else. That was weird enough to snap me out of my road fog. No commercial tags, no fleet numbers, just 1, 2, and 3. Perfectly spaced, perfectly clean, perfectly in sync. They weren't going fast, but they kept perfect distance from each other. Never passed anyone, never got past. I kept behind them, hanging back about 100 yards. For a while, I figured maybe it was military or some kind of test vehicles. Government does all kinds of shady stuff out in the desert, but even they usually follow highway laws or have escorts. What really hit me was when they pulled off the road. No signal, no brake lights, just veered right, one after the other, onto what looked like open desert. Thing is, there was no road there, no turnout, no gravel pad, no service lane, not even a dirt path. Just sand. I slowed down, rubbernecked, looked again. They were gone. Not parked off to the side, gone. Gone, gone. Lights off. Engines off. Vanished. I pulled over, left my hazard lights blinking, and stepped out. Dumb, I know. But I swear it felt like I had to. Like something was pulling at me. Not curiosity, something deeper. Like a compulsion. I walked up to where they turned off. Just loose sand and scrub brush. No tire tracks, not one. I looked back at my truck, at the blinking amber lights, then out at the black. That kind of dark that looks like it's swallowing the world past your headlights. I must have stood there 5 minutes just listening. No cars, no bugs, not even the wind. Dead silence. Then all three of their headlights came on. At once. Far out in the desert. At first just three distant glows in the black. Then brighter. Closer. But there was no sound. No engines. Just the lights getting bigger. I stepped back toward my rig, fast. But I didn't turn around. I couldn't. My feet were moving, but my head was locked on those lights. They weren't bouncing like they were driving over terrain. They were gliding, like someone had picked them up and was floating them toward me. I got to my truck, yanked the door, and climbed in without taking my eyes off the mirrors. The lights were closer now, about 100 yards away. No shapes, no silhouettes. Just three blinding beams floating toward me in dead silence. I threw it in drive and peeled out so fast my back tires spit gravel. My hazard lights were still blinking. I didn't even shut the door all the way. Just drove like hell. No other cars, no police, not a single soul for miles. After 10 minutes, I looked in the mirror. Pitch black. Nothing behind me. No lights, no SUVs. Just me in the highway again. But then I looked down. I hadn't noticed it when I climbed back in, but on the floorboard of my passenger side was something small. I reached down without thinking.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It was a single playing card. Old, dirty, corners frayed. I flipped it over. The King of Spades. Written across the king's face in tiny black marker were the words, "You saw us." I swear on my mother's grave I didn't have that card before. I searched the cab top to bottom the next day. There's no way it just fell in from somewhere. I still have it. It's in a Ziploc bag in my glove box. I've shown it to one guy, another trucker I trust who doesn't scare easy. He told me to burn it, but I can't. I don't know why, but I just can't. And now every time I pass that stretch of road, even in daylight, I feel it, like a hum in the air, like something is watching, waiting. I don't drive that route at night anymore, and I've never seen another Nevada plate like that again. Story 3. I live out in northern Pennsylvania, small town called Coutersport. Real quiet, real cold, especially once you're out past the gas station and the last of the porch lights. I'm not a trucker, but I ride. Been riding since I was 16. Nothing fancy, just a beat-up little 50cc Yamaha dirt bike that rattles like hell over 50 clicks. That night, it was about 3:15 a.m. I remember because I checked my phone before leaving my girlfriend's place. Her parents don't like me, so I always sneak out after she falls asleep. It's only about a 20-minute ride back to my place. Just one long stretch of road that cuts through dense forest. No streetlights out there. No houses. Just black trees pressed in from both sides. And your headlight barely cutting through it. You ride that road enough, you get used to the dark. Or you think you do. I was riding fast, trying to keep warm. The cold bites harder out there, makes your fingers go numb on the throttle. The engine was whining like it was going to give out, and the forest around me was just this wall of black. I had my eyes fixed dead ahead, trying not to think about anything, when something appeared in the beam of my headlight. At first, I thought it was a person, standing right on the shoulder of the road, not moving, pale skin, no clothes. My heart jumped so hard I thought I was about to lose control of the bike. I swerved a little but didn't stop. Blew right past it, maybe 5 feet from it. I only saw it for half a second, but that half second is burned into my brain. It was white. Not like pale skin. White. I mean bone white. No hair. No genitals. Just smooth like a damn mannequin. But its arms were wrong. Too long. I remember seeing the fingers hanging just past the knees. And the head was turned toward me. Not the whole body, just the head twisted all the way around, chin almost over its shoulder. I looked back in my mirror. Nothing. just darkness swallowing the road. I told myself it was a prank, some sick bastard leaving a mannequin out there to scare drivers. But I couldn't let it go. I circled back. Stupid, I know, but I had to be sure. I slowed down, turned around in the middle of the road, and went back the way I came, slow this time. Maybe 20 kilometers per hour, crawling along the shoulder with the high beam on. I figured I'd see it again, get a better look, confirm it was just plastic, maybe even drag it off the road so no one crashes into it. I rode for about 2 minutes. That's when I saw it again. Only this time, it was on the other side of the road, and closer, right near the tree line. I locked up the brakes and stopped completely. It was standing maybe 10 feet away now. Same thing, no clothes. That smooth, off-white surface that didn't look right under the light. Not shiny like plastic, not skin either. Just this matte, dead finish, and its head was facing me again. I swear to God on my mother's life, it smiled. No teeth, just the slit that opened across its face, like someone pulling apart a fresh cut. That's when I realized I couldn't see its eyes. I couldn't tell if it had eyes, but it knew I was looking at it. It was facing me, leaning forward slightly, arms just hanging. It didn't move. Not yet. I should have turned the bike and gotten the hell out of there, but I was frozen. The engine was still running, ticking over in the silence, and I realized it was silent. No wind, no insects, not even the hum of the tires. It was like the air had stopped moving. Then it took one step forward. I hit the throttle so hard the front wheel lifted a little. Didn't care. I tore down that road faster than the bike's ever gone. I didn't look back, not once. I didn't stop until I was parked in my driveway, engine steaming in the cold, my hands shaking so bad I could barely shut it off. I didn't sleep that night. I never told my girlfriend. I never told my folks either. But I stopped taking that road at night. Even if it means driving an extra 30 minutes out of the way. I don't think it was a mannequin. And I know it wasn't human. Story 4. I drive out of Bakersfield, California. Been doing long hauls for 12 years. Mostly West Coast runs, sometimes up through Nevada. I sleep in the cab of my rig, eat gas station crap, and keep to myself. Never really thought much about the supernatural. Don't believe in ghosts. Didn't anyway. This was last winter. Cold, but not snowing. Around 2 a.m., I was heading north on the 99, hauling an empty trailer back toward Sacramento. Roads were pretty dead. It's the middle of the night, not much traffic. I had the radio off. Just the hum of the tires and the occasional hiss of the engine brake. Real quiet. About 20 miles out from Fresno, I saw him. A guy standing on the shoulder, thumb out, backpack on. Skinny, looked like he hadn't slept in a while. Maybe late 30s. Not a good place to be hitching a ride. Dark stretch, no lights, no exits for a while. Now look, I never pick up hitchhikers. You don't know what people are on or what they'll do. But something about this guy, I don't know. Maybe it was the way he was just standing there so still, got under my skin. I slowed down, more out of instinct than decision, and pulled onto the shoulder a few yards ahead of him. He jogged up to the door and I cracked the window. Where you headed? I asked. North, he said. Just as far as you're going. I looked him over, pale, kind of twitchy, but his eyes locked on mine, and I swear to God there was something strange in them. Not scary exactly, but intense. Like he already knew something I didn't. I unlocked the door. All right, hop in. He climbed up, dropped his pack by his feet. Didn't say much after that. Just sat there, hands on his knees, eyes forward. We drove in silence for maybe 15 minutes. I offered him water, some chips I had. He shook his head. Then out of nowhere, he said, "There's a tire coming." I blinked. "What?" He didn't look at me. Big tire, like a semi-tire, coming fast. I laughed a little, thinking maybe he was making some weird joke. "You psychic or something?" He didn't answer. Just pointed out the windshield. "Now," he said calmly. I looked up just in time to see a massive tire, one of those spare tractor-trailer ones, bouncing wildly down the freeway in our direction. It had to be going 70, maybe more. I slammed on the brakes. The cab jolted hard. The whole truck groaned and rocked. I felt the trailer sway behind me, And then, bang, the tire smashed into the road right where we would have been. It bounced straight into the embankment on the side, exploded in a shriek of metal and rubber. Steel cords snapped like whip cracks. It would have taken off the cab if we'd been 10 feet further. I sat there breathing heavy, hands gripping the wheel. The guy didn't move. "You okay?" I asked. He nodded. "I told you." "How the hell did you..." He looked at me for the first time since he got in. "I've seen that tire before." I didn't know what to say to that. I just sat there, trying to slow my heart down. I kept looking at the mirror, at the wreckage behind us. The tire was split in half, shredded, smoke curling off the rubber. "Where'd it come from?" I asked. He shrugged. "Same place it always comes from." I stared at him. "What do you mean, always? That was a freak accident." He shook his head slowly. "Number it always comes. Doesn't matter where I go. Doesn't matter who I'm with. I just know when it's coming." That's when something in me shifted. I felt cold. I mean real cold, even inside the cab with the heat running. "You telling me this has happened before?" He nodded. "Nine times. Nine times. Not everyone stops in time." That hit me like a punch. I didn't ask what he meant by that. I didn't want to know. I pulled into the next gas station maybe 10 minutes later. We hadn't said another word. "You want something?" I asked, trying to shake off the chill. "Snack? Coffee?" He looked at me and smiled, but there was nothing behind it. No joy, just this strange kind of sadness. "No," he said, "I'm getting out here." I watched him grab his bag and step down onto the pavement. He didn't look back, just walked off into the dark behind the station. No lights, no cars. I waited a minute, maybe two. Then I pulled around the building to see where he'd gone. Nothing. He was gone. No sign of him, no figure walking off down the road, no silhouette, just empty highway and the hum of the gas station lights. I asked the guy inside if he saw anyone come in. He said no. Cameras didn't show him either. I didn't sleep the next night. Couldn't. Story 5, and I live in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Used to be a full-time long-haul driver, mostly doing heavy equipment hauls for a contractor between Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. These days, I run part-time shifts for extra cash. I'm not some kid chasing stories. I'm 46, divorced twice, and I've done my time on the road. I've seen wrecks, dead animals, tweakers walking barefoot on highways, you name it. But what happened that Sunday night, I've never told anyone, because I still don't know how the hell to explain it without sounding completely out of my mind. It was a run-of-the-mill weekend, some beers with old friends out in Abingdon. Nothing crazy, I wasn't drunk. I hadn't smoked anything. I crashed Saturday night, got a full sleep, and was up and on the road by 2:30 a.m. Sunday, heading back toward Northern Virginia. It was foggy as hell that night, one of those thick, low-clinging fogs that feel like it's sticking to your windshield. I was in my 99 Tahoe, lifted off-road package, light bars, roof rack, the whole deal. I like visibility. Always have. And out there on Route 29, there ain't much light. Two-lane in some parts, forest tight on both sides, especially between Lynchburg and Culpeper. I was doing about 85 and a 70. Not a soul around. No headlights, no taillights, not even a road sign for a while. Just trees, asphalt, and fog. I had the radio on low, some classic rock, and was sipping my coffee. All of a sudden, my eyes catch movement to the left. I glance, and there's a car riding right beside me. No sound, no lights. First thing I see is this German Shepherd barking through the passenger window, barking like it wants to rip through the glass and lunge into my cab. That damn face, those teeth, it was right there, inches from mine, separated by two windows. I flinched and jerked the wheel, almost spilled my coffee. Then I really looked. It was a white Crown Vic, light bar on top, blue glow from the dash. Cop car, unmarked, probably sheriff. Dog was fully geared, vest, badge tag, muzzle hanging from its collar. The inside lights gave me a crystal clear view. But here's the thing. The car was inches from mine, perfectly aligned, keeping speed with me in the left lane. But There is no left lane there. That's the part that didn't make sense. It's a narrow two-lane highway. There's only one lane in each direction. And on that side, a sloped ditch full of wet grass and rock. No shoulder, no rumble strip, nothing that a vehicle could drive on without fishtailing into the trees. I swear to God, I looked at that car for maybe 3 seconds tops. Enough time to process that this was a cop, that I was going too fast, and that I needed to slow down now. My brain kicked in. I eased off the gas, flipped my blinker to move over and stop. Habit. Then it hit me. There was nowhere for that car to be. I looked left again. Gone. I don't mean it sped ahead. I mean it just wasn't there. In a blink, no taillights, no headlights, no engine hum. Just empty darkness and the fog creeping across that grass slope like it had been there the whole time. I hit the brakes hard. Threw it in park right in the middle of the damn road. My hands were shaking. I turned on every external light I had. Roof bar, grill lights, rear lights. Even popped out my handheld spotlight and swept the trees and ditches. Nothing. Not a single sound except my engine. I even stepped out and checked the ground. It had rained earlier. The grass off the road was damp, soft. You drive over it, it leaves marks. My tires had kicked up moisture just stopping where I was. But where that cop car would have been, dry, untouched, not a blade of grass out of place. There was no vehicle, no tire tracks, no barking dog, no anything. And I stood there like a moron, with the spotlight shaking in my hand, feeling like I was either losing my mind or something just showed itself to me and didn't care if I understood it or not. I got back in and drove, slower this time, kept all the lights on and the windows cracked to listen. I didn't stop again until I hit Warrenton and saw other cars on the road. Haven't taken that stretch of 29 since. I reroute now. Even if it costs me extra time or gas, I don't care. Because I know what I saw, and I know it shouldn't have been possible. It wasn't a hallucination. I'm not sleep deprived. I wasn't under the influence. I wasn't tired. I've replayed it over and over in my head, trying to rationalize it. Patrol car pulled off earlier and caught up somehow? A decoy? A prank? But no, there's no physical way that vehicle could have been there beside me. And that dog's eyes, I can't forget them. There was something wrong about the way it stared at me. Not like a real animal. Like it knew I saw it. Like it wanted me to. I don't talk about this at truck stops. Nobody would believe me anyway. But I'm telling you, whatever that thing was, it wasn't a cop, and it wasn't just a dog. It was something else using the shape of things we trust to get close. Story 6. I don't really talk about this much, not because I'm afraid people won't believe me, but because I still don't understand what the hell it was. I've been driving trucks for over 20 years now, mostly hauling timber out of the forests up north, and you see a lot of weird stuff when you're alone on those roads at night. But there's one night I was hauling out of a cut near Coeur d'Alene during a snowstorm that changed something in me. I won't go near that stretch again, even if it cost me a job. It was mid-January, maybe 10 years ago. Heavy snow, not flurries, real snow. Thick enough that you can't see more than 20 feet with your high beams. I had a full load, pine mostly, and was heading down a logging road off the 97, trying to hit the main highway by morning. This stretch was steep, winding down the mountain in a series of sharp switchbacks. I'd been up there all day, and by the time I was chaining up to head down, it was past midnight. Not a single other truck in sight. I remember the wind was dead still. No sound except the crunch of ice under my boots. And as soon as I bent down to hook the first chain, I just froze. I didn't hear anything, but my whole body locked up like I just stepped into a freezer. Every hair on my arm stood up, my breath caught in my throat. I wasn't even thinking, just reacting. It felt like something was watching me from the tree line above, something that knew I was alone and couldn't leave. I finished chaining up fast, hands shaking, fumbling. Climbed back into the cab and didn't even warm up the engine. I just wanted to get down that damn mountain. I started crawling down the grade, 10, 15 miles an hour tops, taking each curve slow. I was maybe two or three switchbacks down when I saw it. There's this embankment on the right side, tall, easily 20 feet up. Snow was piled high, but something was standing at the top of it, just barely in the beam of my headlights. At first, I thought it was a tree, but it moved. It took a step forward. I braked. My lights caught it fully. It was massive. Tall like a grizzly, but upright. Too broad across the chest to be a man. The shoulders were at least as high as my cab. No fur coat, nothing human about the way it stood. I couldn't see the face, just a dark, heavy shape. It didn't make a sound. Then in one motion, it jumped. Straight down the 20-foot embankment, hit the road without a stumble, then jumped again. Across the road, landing clean on the opposite bank and disappearing into the trees. I didn't move. I didn't even breathe. I just stared where it had been. There were no tracks, no sound, nothing. It was like it was never there, except I saw it, I felt it. Something had jumped 20 feet down, crossed a two-lane icy road, and cleared it in a single leap. I'm telling you, it wasn't an animal, and it sure as hell wasn't a person. I don't remember the next few miles. I must have just kept driving. I didn't stop. I didn't take the chains off. I made it to the weigh station around 4 a.m., hands still locked on the wheel, white-knuckled. The guy at the station asked me if I was all right, and I just told him there was a storm up the mountain. I couldn't even say it out loud. I told my dad about it a week later. He used to haul up there, too. I expected him to laugh, but he didn't. He just said, "Yeah, that mountain's got something bad in it." I never went back. Don't care how much the job pays. I won't even take loads near Coeur d'Alene in the winter. Story 7. I've been hauling freight for going on 15 years now, based just outside of Carlisle, right near the border. Most of my runs take me up into Scotland, Aberdeen, Inverness, sometimes even the far north if the money's good. I've seen some weird stuff on the road, sure. Strange fogs, old drunks wandering the lanes, even a half-dead deer dragging itself across the tarmac like something out of a nightmare. But there's only one night I refuse to talk about if I'm sitting in the trucker's lounge or over a pint at the pub. I'm only telling you now because I think it might help me sleep again. It was autumn, cold enough that my breath fogged up the inside of the windscreen. I'd taken a last-minute job running some pallets of electricals up to a tiny warehouse just west of Inveraray. The company paid well, cash in hand, no questions asked. Only catch was I had to drive through the night to make the drop on time. I set off around 8 p.m., loaded up at the depot near Dumfries, and pointed the cab north. Roads started getting narrower the further I got. You know how it is. Hedges close in on both sides, sat-nav starts losing signal, and suddenly you're praying you don't meet anything coming the other way. By the time I hit the single-track road through Glenshira, it was pitch black. Not a single car in sight, only the occasional sheep, motionless on the verge, staring into the dark like they knew something I didn't. I lit a fag, rolled the window down a bit to stay alert. Radio was playing some old rock tune, but it kept cutting in and out. Weird static, thought nothing of it. Then about 5 minutes later, I saw them, flashing lights. Not like a police car or an ambulance. These were coming through the trees off to my right. All different colors, blue, red, green, white, blinking and swirling like someone had strung up a rave deep in the forest. Except there was no music. No sound at all, actually. I slowed down. Not because I was curious, but because something about it made my stomach turn. It was like my brain couldn't make sense of what it was seeing. The shadows it threw across the road were wrong, too. All stretched and twitchy, like they were alive. "Oi," I said out loud to myself. "What the fuck is that?" I killed the radio. Nothing but the hum of the engine and the occasional crackle of branches brushing the side of the trailer. Then I saw movement. Figures. Not one, not two. I counted at least five. Just shapes at first, stepping between the trees. But the lights behind them flickered in a way that made them look bent, distorted. Like they were flickering too, not just the lights. I sat there, foot hovering over the accelerator. I swear I could feel something vibrating through the cab, like a low-frequency hum. You ever feel noise before you hear it? Like a pressure behind your eyes? It was like that. My ears started to ring. I hit the lock on the doors. Click, click. My fingers were sweating. Then one of the figures turned. It looks straight at me. Now, I can't explain this bit right. I've tried before, but it always sounds mental. It didn't have eyes, not like ours. Just these holes in its face where the lights poured out of it. Like whatever was inside, it was shining through. And the lights didn't stay put either. They twisted around inside its head like smoke. That's when I lost it. "Fuck this," I muttered, slammed the truck into gear and floored it. The rig roared as I tore down that country lane faster than I've ever dared to drive a lorry. Mirrors shaking, wheels nearly clipping the verge. I didn't care if I rolled it. I just needed distance. I didn't even look back. I couldn't. I was certain that if I checked the mirrors, I'd see one of them standing in the middle of the road behind me, or worse, in the cab. My hands were shaking so bad I could barely keep the wheel steady. After what felt like forever, the trees cleared out, and I hit a wider stretch of B road. That humming noise vanished like a switch had been flipped. My ears popped. Just like that, it was over. I pulled over a few miles later, got out, and puked all over the tarmac. The next morning, I made the delivery. Didn't mention a word to the warehouse lads. They just signed the papers, had me reverse into the bay, and went about their business like everything was normal. Later that week, I went back to look at a map. There's nothing out there. No buildings, no power stations, no bloody reason there should be lights flashing through the trees in the middle of a forest at 2:30 in the morning. And no one else I've talked to, no driver I've met, has ever seen anything like it. One guy from Glasgow said, "Maybe it was travelers having a bonfire." Mate, if that was a bonfire, then fire's got a whole new set of rules. I haven't taken another job up there since. Story 8. I've been driving long haul for going on 22 years now, based out of Tyler, Texas. I'm not the superstitious type. You can't afford to be when you're alone with your own thoughts for 16 hours at a time. But what happened just past Laredo 6 years back still wakes me up in a sweat, like I never left that stretch of road. It was a contract job, urgent shipment from a warehouse in Laredo to Baton Rouge, last minute. The kind where dispatch doesn't ask questions, and you don't either. They just say, "Go now," and you go. I was driving my Ford E350 cargo van. Nothing fancy, no trailer. Two buddies came along to split the ride and keep me from nodding off, David and Mike. We weren't paid extra for them. They just didn't want to be home that weekend. We left Laredo around midnight. I remember because David complained we didn't grab Whataburger before leaving. Told him I'd stop at the next one, but there wasn't a damn thing for miles. It's just black highway, cactus, and silence out there. You ever drive that route? It's not like other interstates. No towns, no gas stations, no lights. Just 50 miles of straight up nothing. It was about 2:15 a.m. I'd been cruising in the right lane, and up ahead was this long-ass semi moving slow. I signaled and eased into the left lane. Speed limit was 75, but I wasn't even doing that. Maybe 65. I didn't want to risk a deer or a blown tire out in the middle of nowhere. I was maybe halfway past the truck, right at its cab, when David sat up from the back bench and said, "Dude, what the hell is that?" I thought he was talking about something on his phone or some nonsense. But then I saw it, whatever the hell it was. Just off my left in my peripheral, maybe 15 feet ahead of me, this figure steps onto the highway. Now listen, I've seen people walking down highways at night. Hitchhikers, tweakers, drunks. This wasn't that. This thing looked like a person, but wrong. It was dressed head to toe in white. White pants, white long-sleeve shirt, white shoes even. The skin looked white too, pale like paper. And the face, man, I saw it as clear as day, even just in the van's headlight spill. White face, eyes closed, arms crossed tightly over the chest. Like a damn corpse in a coffin, just walking straight across the highway, not running, not reacting, just walking like it didn't even know we were there. The trucker next to me laid on the horn and jerked hard to the right, kicking up dust and swerving halfway onto the shoulder. I shouted and pulled left. There wasn't a shoulder there, just a shallow ditch, so I couldn't go far. I swear to God, I felt the side mirror miss that thing's face by an inch. I can still see it. The closed eyes. The lips were pressed shut like they'd been sewn or something. It didn't even flinch. Then, gone. I checked the rear view, but there was nothing. Nothing in the road, No thump, no body, no blood, just empty blacktop. Mike was in the passenger seat, white-knuckling the dash. What the fuck was that? David from the back. Did we just hit a fucking ghost? What was that? I didn't answer. I couldn't. My mouth was dry, hands locked on the wheel. My heart was beating so hard I thought I was having a heart attack. We drove in dead silence for the next 10 minutes, all of us staring straight ahead like maybe it'd pop up again. And listen, I pulled over later, pulled into a lit gas station as soon as we found one. We checked the van front to back. Not a scratch. Nothing on the bumper. No dents. No smears. Nothing in the grill. But I swear, I felt it. The cold. You ever feel cold come from something that's not there? The air inside the van dropped 10 degrees when we passed it. That wasn't adrenaline. It was like the whole world froze for 2 seconds. Mike said it looked like it was floating, but I'm not sure. All I know is it didn't walk right. The arms never moved. It just glided like it didn't need legs. I asked the guy at the gas station if he'd ever heard of someone being hit on that stretch of 83. He just kind of looked at me and said, "You seen her too, huh?" I didn't ask for more. I didn't want to know. We didn't talk about it again the rest of the trip. Dropped the cargo, got paid, drove home in daylight. But I've never taken that route again. I'll drive 2 hours out of my way to avoid that black patch of Texas highway. Story 9, and I used to run overnight freight between Dallas and Lubbock, hauling for a furniture distributor. Mostly empty highways, a lot of small town lights in the distance, truck stops every 100 miles or so. I live in Garland now, but this happened maybe 5 years ago, just outside Abilene, somewhere around 2:30 in the morning. It wasn't a long haul that night. I had just dropped off a partial load and was deadheading back, cruising maybe 50 through a stretch of road that ran past a bunch of old outlet stores, half of them abandoned, lit by flickering signs or nothing at all. Empty parking lots, rows of dead storefronts, a couple Dollar Generals still kicking. Nothing unusual. No other cars. Dead silence except for the hum of my tires and the occasional clatter from the trailer. Then bang, a baseball slammed into my windshield. Dead center. I flinched so hard I jerked the wheel, thought for sure I'd hit something, but I hadn't. The thing just hit me out of nowhere. Full speed, left a spiderweb crack the size of a dinner plate in the glass. I pulled over fast, too fast. Tires scraped gravel as I came to a shaky stop in one of those dark parking lots. My hands were still gripping the wheel tight when I looked around. Nothing. Just an empty lot, lit by one overhead street light that kept flickering like it was ready to die. A dry wind blew some wrappers around. Maybe a shopping cart bumped into a curb and squeaked. No people. No movement. I got out, heart racing. I figured maybe it was a kid screwing around, some punk hiding behind one of the concrete columns or an old dumpster. I had a flashlight under the seat, so I grabbed it and started scanning. "Hey," I shouted. "Not funny." I circled the truck first. Nothing behind it, no dents on the trailer. I walked toward the edge of the lot, swinging the flashlight side to side. It hit piles of broken glass, weeds growing up through cracks, a busted payphone, one of those red newspaper boxes knocked over on its side. But no people, no cars, nothing. Then I found the baseball. It was lying in the middle of the lot, maybe 30 feet from the front of the truck. Clean white leather, no dirt on it, no scuff marks, like it had just come out of the packaging. But it was ice cold when I picked it up. And I mean freezing. I swear to God, it stung my fingers like dry ice. I dropped it immediately and backed away. Something about it didn't feel right. I don't mean like, "Oh, that's weird." I mean my whole body went tight, like every hair on my arm stood up. I looked around again, but it was still dead quiet. Not even the sound of a car in the distance. Just that streetlight flickering above me. Then something moved. I didn't see it exactly. More like, out of the corner of my eye, there was this motion. Right where the dark met the light. Like someone had been crouched behind the busted payphone and stood up just enough to peek out. I turned the flashlight on it immediately. Nothing. Just metal and shadows. Then right behind me, maybe 10 feet back, a laugh. It was quick and short, like a kid stifling a giggle. but it was wrong. Too sharp, too high-pitched, and it echoed weird, like it wasn't coming from one place but bouncing around my head. I whipped around so fast I almost fell, trying to catch someone, but there was no one there. The baseball was gone. I hadn't heard it move, hadn't looked away for more than a second, but when I turned back around, it was gone. Just empty, cracked concrete where it had been. I didn't say anything. I didn't move. I just stood there with the flashlight trembling in my hand, listening. Crunch. The sound came from under the trailer, like gravel being stepped on. I dropped to one knee and pointed the beam underneath. Nothing. Then I heard it again, this time on top of the cab. A soft thud, like something had landed up there. I didn't think. I ran. I threw the door open, jumped in, and slammed it shut. I didn't even check the mirrors. I just cranked the wheel hard and peeled out of the lot, tires screaming. The trailer fishtailed for a second before catching up, and I floored it back onto the road. I didn't look back. I didn't stop until I hit a Love station 30 miles out and parked right under the brightest damn lights I could find. I sat in the cab for maybe an hour, locked the doors, engine idling, didn't sleep, didn't eat, just stared straight ahead. Eventually, I got out and checked the windshield. The crack was still there, clear as day, but there was no impact mark, no dent, no dirt, like the ball had been made of nothing. I've driven that stretch maybe a dozen times since. I don't stop there. I don't even slow down. I don't care if I'm about to piss myself. I'll hold it till I'm past Abilene. I never told the company, didn't report it, just got the windshield replaced and kept my mouth shut. Story 10. I'm not really the type to post stuff online, but I came across a thread asking long-haul truckers about the...
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Creepiest thing they've seen on the road, and it stirred up something I've tried to bury for years. I'm Ron. I used to drive for a freight company out of Indiana, based just outside of Terre Haute. Did long runs mostly through the Midwest and occasionally out west when dispatch screwed up. I quit the job in 2016. I don't drive anymore. Not trucks, not even a goddamn rental. What happened to me out in the Oklahoma panhandle made damn sure of that. It was a Thursday, I remember that because I was already pissed about the load I had. Dispatch routed me through a two-lane back road instead of a highway because they said the storm near Amarillo might slow me down. The shortcut was called Route 54, but this offshoot I ended up on had no name. Just dirt, dead grass, and barbed wire fences running along either side for miles. You ever drive through that kind of nothingness? It messes with your head, makes the CB static sound like whispers. It was about 11:30 p.m. No moon, no stars, just my high beams punching through the dark. I was crawling along, maybe 25 miles per hour, trying not to rattle my axle loose. The dirt was so dry, it kicked up a constant fog around the truck. Felt like I was driving through a dream or a grave. Now, truckers see some weird shit. Lights that don't move right, animals with too many legs, you name it. Most of it you can chalk up to fatigue, dehydration, maybe the wrong combination of gas station snacks. But this wasn't that. I saw lights coming at me. Another semi, slow like mine. Headlights low and yellowed. I figured it was another poor bastard like me stuck on the same detour. I flashed my brights once to say, hey. The other truck blinked his back. I didn't think much of it until he got closer. Same cab, same make, model, same grill guard, same dull blue paint with a rust spot on the exact same panel under the driver's side mirror. My stomach twisted, but I told myself it wasn't that crazy. Lot of rigs look similar. Then I noticed the trailer. It was mine. Same company logo, same faded lettering, same dent in the bottom corner where some idiot forklift driver got too confident. I sat up straighter, stared through the windshield and muttered,
What the hell? We slowed to pass each other, maybe 5 feet between us. I looked up into his cab, and that's when everything stopped. It was me. Not someone who looked like me, not kinda resembled me. Number, it was me. Same ball cap, same plaid shirt I was wearing, same bushy red beard and tired eyes. He was staring down at me like he was already expecting this moment. We locked eyes and my chest went cold. I couldn't breathe. My hands wouldn't move off the wheel. He didn't blink. He didn't wave. He didn't smile. Just stared at me like he knew something I didn't. Like he'd been through this already. Then he was gone. Just passed me and disappeared into the night fog behind. I didn't turn around. I didn't look in my mirrors. I just kept driving. Slower now. Trying not to throw up. My skin felt like it was humming. My hands were shaking so bad I had to grip the wheel with both arms locked stiff. No music, no CB chatter, no GPS signal. Just silence and dirt and a creeping sense that maybe I'd gone insane back there. 20 minutes later, I hit pavement and pulled over to puke my guts out behind the cab. I sat on the ground shaking, sweating, staring down that black road, waiting for headlights that never came. I never told dispatch, never told my wife the full story either. Just said the back roads made me sick and that I was done. And I meant it. I sold the truck, started working maintenance for a school district. Haven't driven more than 15 miles from my house since.